There is an account in the book of Exodus chapter 17. And as I was reading through this chapter, I noticed that problems, trouble, is all oftentimes, it comes, you know, as the song says, multiplied trials, many problems. And I think that the Christian experience is a life of hills and valleys. We have high times, but we do have times when we really face not one, not two, but multiplied trials. And I noticed here in Exodus chapter 17 that Moses, in the first few verses, he's dealing with the people who are saying to him, "You have brought us out here in the wilderness. We have no water. And you've brought us out here to die. Why have you done that?" And the Lord, and Moses, he cries out to the Lord. Verse 4. Moses cried unto the Lord, saying, "What shall I do unto this people? They be almost ready to stone me." And the Lord said unto Moses, "Go on before the people, and take with thee of the elders of Israel, and the rod wherewith thou smotest the river, take in thine hand, and go. Behold, I will stand before thee there upon the rock in Horeb, and thou shalt smite the rock, there shall come out of it, and shall come water out of it, that the people may drink." And Moses did so in the sight of the elders, and he called the name of the place Massah and Meribah, because of the chiding of the children of Israel, because they tempted the Lord, saying, "Is the Lord among us?" Now that's the first problem that Moses has. No water, no water. The people were so desperate for water that they were about ready to threaten his life for bringing them out there in the wilderness. What does Moses do? Cries out to God. And the Lord answers his prayer, tells him what to do, and provides water miraculously for all of the people. Verse 8, it says, now that problem solved. There at verse 7, problem solved. Verse 8, then came Amalek and fought with Israel in Rephidim. Problem number 2. And it's the way, it does seem that way sometimes, like you just get one problem over with, and then here comes another big situation. And that's what happened. You know that in this account, the Amalekites came up against Moses, Joshua, the children of Israel. And Moses gave to Joshua the instructions of what to do. "You're going to be down in the valley. You're going to be fighting and running up against the Amalekites, our enemy. And I'm going to go up on the mount with the elders and with Aaron and Hur. And there I'm going to be holding up my rod toward heaven and holding up my hands toward heaven." And you know the story, that as long as his hands were up in the air, that they were winning the battle. When he got tired and weary, then, and his arms began to come down, then the battle turned and they were losing the battle. So then Aaron and Hur came to him, and they set him up on a rock, and they held his arms up. Now this is a wonderful picture, really, of the value and the importance of prayer in the time of your trouble. Prayer in the time of your need. Amen. You know, when you don't pray, you cut yourself off from the power of God. When you don't pray, you cut yourself off from God's power and God's blessing in your life. And when Moses' arms became weary and came down, and that was symbolic, his hands raised toward heaven, it was symbolic of his interceding in behalf of Israel. The battle was being won as long as that intercessory prayer was going heavenward. God was moving. Moses had this connection with heaven. And as long as he was praying, then he was experiencing the power of God. Amen. And one of the things that we do, I can't speak for everyone, but sometimes we fall into the trap of thinking, I can figure out this problem. I can come up with a solution. And I can do something about this situation or this need. I can do something about it. Whenever you come to the place that you think that the circumstance that you're faced with, you can handle it, you can do something about it, then you are set up for failure. You are set up for failure. You're not going to be able to succeed unless you're dependent and trusting in the Lord. Amen. When you don't pray, you're going to find yourself losing more and more spiritual battles. More and more spiritual battles you're going to lose when you're not willing to pray, because prayer is the key to unlocking the power of God in your life situation. Amen. Praise God. And it's a wonderful thing, and it's a simple thing, but yet it is a battle. It is a battle. There's no greater battle that I have ever experienced, and I've served the Lord a long, long time. There's no bigger battle than the battle of prayer. The battle of prayer. Whenever you go to prayer and you determine you're going to pray and you're going to seek the Lord, you will find yourself in a struggle with the world, the distractions of the world, the flesh, your own weakness in your own body, and the world, the flesh, and the devil will fight you head on whenever you determine, I'm going to trust God. I'm going to call upon the Lord. And so whenever we understand this, when we come into the understanding that prayer is a battle. Prayer is a battle. And when you begin to pray for things that are going to upset Satan's kingdom, whenever you pray for souls to be saved, whenever you pray for revival, whenever you pray against the forces of the enemy, then you're going to find yourself in the heat of the battle. And that's the reason why we often just say, well, maybe I can figure this out on my own. Maybe I can work this out in my own power. Even Jesus himself, his life was a life of prayer, intercession. But even Jesus himself found himself in the war and the warfare of prayer. Amen. Hebrews 5 and 7. Who in the days of his flesh, this is talking about Jesus, who in the days of his flesh, when he had offered up prayers and supplications with strong crying and tears unto him that was able to save him from death, and was heard in that he feared. That's right. Jesus prayed prayers, strong prayers, with crying and with tears. When we think of Jesus, when we think of Gethsemane, we think of those beautiful pictures of Jesus kneeling beautifully, you know, with his garments all, you know, that picture. Some of you may have it hanging in your home. But it's not a very accurate picture. Because Jesus, whenever he prayed in Gethsemane, it was a warfare. It was a battle. The Bible says that he was in agony. Luke 22:44. He prayed more earnestly. His sweat was, as it were, great drops of blood falling down to the ground. This was warfare. And what was hanging in the balances? The souls of all of mankind. Because he was headed to the cross. And he knew what obedience was going to lead him to. And oh, there was the struggle. There was the struggle of obedience. There was the struggle of prayer, of intercession. And he cried out with loud crying. He cried with tears and with agony and prayed until His physical body was so affected that his sweat had turned into blood. There was a battle going on. And prayer is a battle. Prayer is a battle. If you enter into times of prayer, you're going to find yourself dealing with the world, the flesh, and the devil. And most of us, you know, we would rather just kind of put it out of our mind. Lord, it'll be better tomorrow. Surely this thing will resolve itself by next week. Surely, Lord. And sometimes we want to try to just put it out of our mind instead of confronting it, dealing with it, coming to the Lord, and just pressing in prayer. George Mueller said, the great fault of the children of God is that they do not continue in prayer. They do not persevere in prayer. If they desire anything that would bring glory to God, they should keep on praying until they get it. Amen. Now, there was a man of experience who prayed in millions of dollars worth of food and supplies and orphans. And God used him mightily to touch many, many people. But much of that happened because he was willing to enter into the conflict, to pray. And it's not an easy thing to do. It's not easy, but if we're going to experience the power of God like we want to experience it, if we'll wait upon the Lord, if we'll seek the Lord with all our whole heart, and we persevere in prayer, we do not give up. We just keep praying and keep believing, then we will experience the hand of the Lord and the power of God. I don't want to be detached from the blessing of God, the power of God, because it's so needed. It's so needed. Without His power, we're just not going to be able to succeed and do what He's asked us to do. Look with me in Matthew chapter 6. This chapter is largely about prayer. The Lord's Prayer is in this chapter, and the first few verses of chapter 6 is dealing with giving your alms. And the same principle that's involved in the prayer also applies to the giving of alms, that you are to do it in secret. Now, that doesn't mean that prayer, public prayer, has a place. Group prayer, corporate prayer, it has a place. There is biblical precedent for it. But whenever Jesus instructs about prayer, He talks to us about getting alone, about getting into a quiet place, into a secret place, to call upon the Lord. And so I think there's much to be said. And again, I'm not against public prayer. We should pray in church. We should pray like we have here tonight. We should come and take advantage of group prayer meetings and things of that sort. It's all wonderful. It's all biblical. But there's also this wonderful promise of God that's given to us that if we will seek the Lord privately in secret, that He will reward us openly. That we will activate the power of God in our life when we're willing to steal away privately, quietly, and to get alone with the Lord. The principle here in chapter 6, as in this message from Jesus, first of all, these first few verses about giving alms and giving offerings, that they are to be done, not to be seen of men. They are not to be a public thing. They are to be a private thing. And God, who sees your private, secret giving, rewards you openly when you give that way. And if you give in a way so that you receive, you know, the praise for it, the acclaim for it, that's what the Pharisees did. That's what the hypocrites did. They did it so that everyone would know that they threw in their big bags of money, and everyone would know what they were doing. And they had their reward. And that was it. That was the reward they got, is that everybody said, oh, look at them. Look at what they have done. Isn't that wonderful? And they lost out on the great power of God that results from secret, personal, private giving, that when you do it that way, not letting your right hand know what your left hand is doing, when you do it that way, then you're investing in the kingdom of God and you're activating the power of God to work even in your finances. And God will do that as you're faithful. That thine alms may be in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret himself shall reward thee openly. Amen. It just means it'll become obvious that God is blessing you. He's providing for you. And everyone will recognize God's doing that. God has done that in their life. And then he moves into the topic of prayer. And he says, when you... Verse number 5. When thou prayest, thou shalt not be as the hypocrites are, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and in the corners of the streets. Now the Jewish hours of prayer were 3 o'clock, 9 o'clock, 6 o'clock. Those were the hours of prayer. And those that wanted to be seen, they'd make sure they were in the busiest place in the marketplace. So when the hour of prayer arrived, that they could stop in the middle of the big crowds of people and, oh God, and begin to cry out to God. And everybody would look at them and say, oh, they must be righteous. They must be holy. They must be godly. Look at what they're doing, how they're praying publicly in the big crowd of people. And they would coordinate their schedule so that they would be seen of men in their prayers. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. Just like those who give publicly and give to be seen, they have their reward. So does the person who prays like that. But thou, when thou prayest, enter into thy closet. Enter into thy closet. That's what the instruction is here. A private place. And when thou hast, shut the door. Will you find that private time, private place, that quiet place? It might not necessarily be a closed closet, but wherever that it might be, I know of people who've got out, prayed out in the field or under a shade tree, or people have had different private places that they would have to go to have that place. But they would shut the door. Why would you go into the closet in the secret private place? Where you, in so doing, you are shutting out everything. Go to a place so that you can shut out everything and so that you can be shut in with God. Amen. Shut out the world and the distractions and the things of this world and be shut in the presence of God. Amen. That's the instruction that Jesus is giving here. And when thou hast shut the door, pray to thy Father which is in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. Praise God. Hallelujah. What happens when you're willing to shut out the world and be shut in with God? You activate something in the realm of the Spirit and you tap in to the power of God. Amen. You tap in to the power of God. Praise the Lord. And we need to understand the connection between our prayer and winning the battles. Winning the struggles that we're in. You're in battles. And you know, it's just, you know, goes with the territory as far as being a pastor. But I hear about problems. I hear a lot about problems. Sometimes a lot of people are having a lot of problems. That's okay. That's all right, because I want to be there. I want to be able to pray with you. I want to be able to help you in prayer and support you in your situation. Sometimes people do suffer manifold temptations, multiplied trials. And in those times, we have no power to deal with these situations unless we can get away from it all and get in the presence of God. Amen. And find a source of power that can only be realized when we are able to take the time to get alone with the Lord. You see, we all of us live active lives. We got busy lives. Things are going on, and you know, there's just a lot of things to do, and it's easy to just think, I can figure this all out. I can work this all out. But your time, the time that you spend in that private closet, that private secret place with the Lord, is your source of divine power. And you don't have any power unless you're willing to stop everything and to find that place in the presence of the Lord. Amen. Let me just give you just a little bit more here, and then we'll stop. But when you pray, use not vain repetition as the heathens do, for they think that they shall be heard for their much speaking. It's talking about prayers, prayer without thought, thoughtless prayers, vain repetition, just whatever comes out of your mouth because you've learned how to say those words when you pray, but you're not giving much thought, much consideration at all. That's what the heathen would do. Prayer that didn't mean that much at all. Verse 8, be not ye therefore like unto them, for your Father knoweth what things ye have need of before you ask. Have you ever thought about that verse of Scripture? Your Father already knows what you need. Now, the rational person would say, then why am I praying? Why am I bringing my needs to God? He already knows about it. Why? This is crazy. Why am I praying if he already knows? Amen. Well, let me give you two or three things here. Number one, because prayer brings you to God. Prayer causes you to turn to the Lord. It's a decisive action. It's you turning to Jesus. And that's what he wants you to do. He wants you to be dependent. He wants you to trust him. And he wants you to ask him. Asking our Heavenly Father is an act of dependence. It's an act of faith. We believe. And so we ask him because we believe that he wants us to ask him. Amen. Also, we pray because apparently he loves to hear your voice and my voice. Since he tells us to pray, commands us to pray, to come to him, and he already knows what we have need of, he must want us to come to him and ask him to enter into his presence because he wants your fellowship. He wants to hear your voice. He wants you to call upon the Lord. When you come to the Lord like this, you begin to align yourself with the will of God and the purposes of God. Whenever you get along with the Lord and you shut everything out and you get in the presence of God, things change. Amen. The distractions and everything. Now, I know the enemy can work against your mind and your thoughts to try to get your thoughts, but it's a lot easier if you can get away from it all. By the way, when you go into the closet, turn off the cell phone. Amen. Turn it off and all the distractions and anything. Take your Bible in there, but be in that secret place where you can tap in to the power of God. Amen. Amen. Now, I know some things, some problems do work themselves out, but there are some situations that God has just so ordered that they're not going to resolve themselves unless you get help from God. You're going to have help from God. It's not going to be resolved. There's not going to be an answer unless you are willing to call upon the Lord. And when we don't pray, when we're not willing to pray, when we don't get along with the Lord, then we limit what God can do. We limit his power. We don't tap in to his divine power and that wonderful source that's made available to us. Hallelujah. Praise the name of the Lord. Praise the name of the Lord. I want to challenge you tonight. If it's 5 or 10 minutes, find a quiet place. Find a place. Get away from the distraction. Shut the door. Shut the distractions out and get shut in with God. Shut in with God in a secret place, in a quiet place, and begin to call upon the Lord. Amen. Things begin to happen. Hallelujah. Things begin to happen whenever folks are willing to pray. There is a connection between our spiritual battles and our willingness to pray. Moses' hands up in the air, as long as they were up in the air, the battle was being won. As long as you're willing to go to God and persevere in prayer, then you can experience the power of God and battles can be won. Amen. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Let's stand, everybody. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you for that wonderful promise of power that's available to the people of God.